Radio Netherlands presents The Research File with Anne Blair Gould.
The Research File today is visiting a place of mixed reputations, the Biomedical Primate Research Centre, which is in Rijswijk near The Hague here in the Netherlands. The centre, or BPRC as it's known, is controversial because it carries out scientific experiments on animals, namely chimpanzees and rhesus macaques. At the moment, there are about 1,500 primates at the BPRC, about 100 of which are chimpanzees. So what goes on at the centre, and why are they using primates? Is it a place which causes unnecessary suffering to animals in the name of scientific research? Or is the experimentation being conducted there justified as part of the quest to make a major breakthrough in medicine? I invite you to judge for yourself as we listen first to a tour around the BPRC. Leading the way is the centre's director, Ronald Bontrop, who explained to reporter Carl Steinsen what sort of work is done at the Biomedical Primate Research Centre.
This is the area where we have the chimpanzees. We are the only research institute in Europe that has chimpanzees and has used them for biomedical research. Chimpanzees have been used in biomedical research for several reasons. Explaining one of them, they're the only species that you can infect, for instance, with hepatitis viruses, also with HIV viruses, but also with the malaria parasite. And that is the reason, because you can't infect other animals, that they have been used in biomedical research to test vaccines. We have an in-house rule in the Netherlands, and that is for this institute, we don't engage in chimpanzee experimentation with experiments where on forehand that we know that the animals may die in the experiment or that we know that they will have, let's say, moderate discomfort. So that limits the number of experiments that you can or will do with these animals. And you have to think per year we have been using at the utmost 5 or 6 chimpanzees for different types of experiments. So the number of animals that are being used and then with limited comfort is really low.
The chimpanzees here, they look so cute. I have to say, they're reaching out to touch us. Is that okay?
Yeah, normally we have certain rules for people to getting in the compounds. The little ones you can handle. The point is they know me, and so I can play with them. And that is what they're trying to attract my attention, because they know that I will cuddle with them. What you hear now is the other big animals, and they're making a lot of noise because they see that there is some attention here. And so that is what they want. They want some attention, and that is what they ask from animal keepers, but also staff that they know. If you come here with a school class, for instance, with people that they don't know, they will make a lot of noise. And they also may be a little bit frightened. But as you can see, these animals are not frightened. They know what they're dealing with. But what I also want to say is, what we have been doing in the last 2 or 3 years under my directorship is that we think that we have more chimpanzees than we need. And so these animals get an age of 50 years. So what we have been doing is outplacing animals to sanctuaries and zoos. And in the last 2 years, 29 of these animals in prime health, etc., have been sent to different zoos or sanctuaries. And about 3 weeks ago, one large group, the most beautiful group that we had, with an alpha male, with a lot of babies, was transferred to the Leipzig Zoo, and there they got a lot of space. So we only outplace animals if they get better housing, if they come into an environment where there is animal expertise that they can handle chimpanzees, because a chimpanzee is something that needs expertise, it needs people that know how to deal with them.
And the animals themselves, the chimpanzees here, what part do they play in experiments here?
HIV is an important story. What people say now about HIV is on the world more than 150 animals have been infected with HIV, and only one of those animals developed AIDS. So infections with HIV are not being done anymore in the Netherlands. We haven't done them for a few years anymore. The issue is that we now know that the HIV virus came from chimpanzees, and this is called the zoonotic event. So the transmission of the HIV virus from chimpanzees to humans probably was one event which took place somewhere around the 1930s in Africa. So now we know that the HIV virus in fact is a chimpanzee virus. So the type of research that we have conducted mainly on these chimpanzees is understanding why chimpanzees are resistant to AIDS. So you can infect them, but what chimpanzees do is they control the virus, it doesn't replicate, and that's totally different from humans, because in humans the virus starts to replicate, it's making a lot of errors, and by making those errors it escapes from an immune response. So what chimpanzees can do, and what also a small cohort of humans can do, is control, let's say, virus replication and keep the viral load down. So we are investigating how chimpanzees can achieve this. And what we have found is that chimpanzees focus their response mainly to conserve parts of the virus. And that helps you to design or think about new types of vaccines. So we won't infect animals with HIV anymore. We haven't done that for a long time. And what we do is just understanding how chimpanzees control response to virus. And we can do that by using cell lines, and we don't need to, let's say, bring discomfort to the animals. Another part of research that is important with chimpanzees is hepatitis. Hepatitis viruses only can infect humans and chimpanzees, so chimpanzees are used to test the new generation of hepatitis vaccines. Next to that, what we have done also in the past is we have done some experiments on malaria. So Plasmodium falciparum is a parasite which causes millions of deaths on the world, and there is not a vaccine for malaria. So what we have done is to test candidate vaccines, and we have developed a model where you have, let's say, what we call a liver stage model also for malaria. So this is the only type of work that was allowed, by which we also, considering all ethical standards, thought what we can do with chimpanzees. So we don't use chimpanzees for transplantation purposes, etc., out of the question.
And will any of these chimpanzees die from the experimentation?
No. It's of course, it can happen that if you test something that an accident happens, especially with anesthesia. But these are very, very, very rare occasions that such a thing happens.
And will they be suffering?
They may suffer, especially by in the case of the hepatitis, there is some suffering involved, and that is always very unpleasant for the researchers and the animal keepers. And there you get the balance. How can you do this type of work, and that some of the people don't understand? I can tell you, I've worked in an academic hospital. I've seen a lot of suffering in humans as well. Africa is being depopulated by HIV virus, and I think it's very important to come up with a new generation of vaccines, or with drugs also, for instance, tuberculosis. And for that case, we absolutely need non-human primates to discover and design these type of vaccines and drugs.
So, Ronald, we've come up in the lift to an indoor centre here. What are we looking at here through the glass?
What you see here is the indoor facilities where we house the chronically infected HIV chimpanzees, or chimpanzees chronically infected with hepatitis viruses. What you can see here is rooms with a lot of space. They have separate cages over here where the animals can eat, where they get the separate food. We can open the roof so that they have sunshine, etc. This is built about 12 or 13 years ago, was state of the art. What we think nowadays is, if you're sitting in a train, you can be sitting next to an HIV patient. So do you need these type of protected facilities to house these animals? So we're also busy in designing plants for the chronically infected animals, that they have wider outdoor facilities. And this is the compound where the chimpanzee Coon lives. Coon was infected in 1982 with blood from a human that had the HIV virus. So in those days we didn't know what was causing the disease. So in those days you could infect chimpanzees and thinking, okay, we have to prove whether it is a virus or so. Nowadays you think these are silly experiments, but in those days it was a sane experiment to look what was causing the disease. Of course, these are animals that I never can outplace. You can't send them to a zoo or a sanctuary whatsoever. You have to have a medical team to take care of them. So we will take care of these animals till their natural death. And that is what I think that we are obliged to do them, because they have served mankind. As you can see, HIV infection doesn't mean a thing to them. They're infected, but they don't show any signs of the disease. So some of these animals are almost 20 years infected now. They control the virus, and as I told you, HIV comes from chimpanzees, so they're pretty resistant to this type of disease.
It's a huge, well-adapted cage with lots and lots of pieces of wood and tires everywhere, like we've seen in the last cages we looked at, fitted up with fire hoses, hanging them from support beams. And it looks like a good habitat, I guess, except that it's indoors, and I think the chimpanzees are maybe, it feels a little bit sad too.
Yeah, but right on the spot, it is an indoor facility. It's built to standards which were accepted 10 or 15 years ago. And what I said, these animals can be housed in an outdoor facility, and that is what we are going to do. And so a little bit sunshine in their life is also my responsibility, and we will work for that. These are rhesus macaques. This is a specialized breeding facility where we take care for the fact that the animals get rid of certain type of viruses which can be harmful to humans. So this is a very specially designed part of the colony. What we dislike about this facility is, you see, these are old cages. This is not the way that we really want to house the animals in 2001. And for that fact, I'm very happy that in the fall last year, the minister, Luc Hermans of Science and Education, provided 50 million guilders, which will make it possible for us to realize new outdoor facilities for all the animals. And some of the animals are still housed, single caged, and that is something we are totally unhappy with, but that will improve in the coming years.
And the experiments you do here again?
Yeah, the macaques are used for a whole array of experiments. As you know, one of the main health problems at the moment is, for instance, HIV. We use macaques to test vaccines for AIDS, but then you have to infect the animals with, not with HIV, but with a special monkey strain, which is called an SIV virus. Apart from that, rhesus macaques are also used for studies on malaria. We also use them for transplantation purposes. We also use the animals for studying treatments for multiple sclerosis and rheumatoid arthritis. So these are the core animals. And the important thing is that all these animals have been genetically typed. So we know the genetics of the animal. We know whether they will respond to the vaccine. So we really work with tailor-made models where we can pick an animal and we will know that it will work. And by doing that, we also minimize the number of animals. So if I select, for instance, for an arthritis experiment, that we need 10 animals, I know that the 10 animals will behave as we expect. And that is different, that you will take 20 animals and you have to see whether they will work out. And that is, I think, the only way that you are allowed nowadays to work with animals. You need to know the genetics. You need to know whether they have the capacity to respond to a drug or a vaccine or whatsoever. And that is the speciality of these animals. It's the same reason why you're using animals, like monkeys, as models for human diseases. Because there are no alternatives. The drugs and the therapeutics or the vaccines that we will test, or even the infections, you can't achieve in other or lower species like rodents. So that is the reason that one is determined to use these animals to test a whole new array of vaccines or drugs for safety, but also to design new ways of intervention in diseases.
You sound like you care a little bit for the animals here.
I do. One of the important things is, if you work with animals and animal experimentation is done like countries like the Netherlands, rich countries, then I think if society wants that animal experimentation is done, I think that the same society should take care for the fact that it is done in a very careful manner. And that is what we also want to achieve here. So we want to minimize the number of animals that are being used, but also you have to see, these animals are serving mankind. So best thing that we can do is to house them properly and take care that they have everything that they need.
Well, okay, Ronald, shall we move on then?
Yeah, I want to show you one part which I'm really not proud of, but that is because I want to show you everything. So we will improve things. There is a lot of fuss about the fact that some of our animals are housingly caged. That is something that I recognized when I became director, and I disliked it. If you look here through the windows, you can see the single cages for the rhesus macaques. So this is, let's say, a facility where we have animals. At this stage, we don't have the proper outdoor facilities to house these animals, but that is what I want to do in the future. And the money that we got from the government is mainly meant to end this way of housing the animals. So we're not, let's say, in conflict with Dutch law or with European law, but this is not the way to house a non-human primate species. And again, that's why I'm very happy that we got the money from the government to improve these type of facilities, because this is what I'm not proud of. This is the way you shouldn't house animals in a rich European country.
So what are the experiments that you do on these rhesus monkeys?
Rhesus monkeys, it's the whole array of experiments. It's testing vaccines for HIV, tuberculosis, but also transplantation protocols. Maybe to say something about transplantation. Transplantation is a success story in modern medicine. This was the first site where this bone marrow transplantation was also set up. And the main protocols for kidney transplantation were also developed in this center. The problem with transplantation is nowadays that you suppress the rejection of a graft by using very strong immunosuppressive drugs. The side effect of those immunosuppressive drugs is that you may develop malignancies. So what we're doing nowadays is testing tolerance protocols, immunological tolerance protocols, where you have to use far less amounts of those strong drugs which induce malignancies. And that is the way to go in the future for, let's say, organ transplantation. And that is one of the reasons that we use these genetically characterized animals. And without these animals, you can't do this type of work.
We've just moved slightly away from those cages. It looks grim in there.
Yeah, I'm totally honest. I don't like it. And this is what I've been discussing for the last 2 or 3 years with a lot of politicians, with a lot of government people. Please, this is not the way you can do experimentation. Although I'm not in conflict with any law, this is, let's say, the way you should house animals, or you could house animals in the 60s or the 70s. But not now. But I expect that this year we will start building those new facilities.
Well, I noticed as we've gone around, Ronald, that you have some emotion when you're talking about your work and about the animals as well.
Yeah, that is something that some people don't understand. But it's a balance, I think, which you have to explain. To put one thing very bluntly, nobody likes doing animal experimentation. So the question you can ask me, how the heck can you do then this type of work? And I think that is the balance. As I told you, HIV is at the moment is depopulating Africa. It's depopulating some of the countries in Asia. And so what we can do is just think it's a nasty disease in the third world and wait till it comes to Europe. I don't think that we have to wait for that long. It's really a nasty disease, and we should have a vaccine to protect us from this virus. And so there are a lot of diseases which cause a lot of deaths in the human population. And that is where I find my balance. So we only work here in this center with diseases which are, as I say, a burden to mankind. And that is where I find the balance. So what is the suffering from the animals? A few animals in comparison with a lot of humans that may die from diseases. And another example is malaria. A lot of, especially young children, die from malarial infections with a lot of pain. There is not a vaccine for this disease, so it should be developed. And that is the reason that I think that this work is very important and that we should strive to find vaccines for the human population.
It was an interesting tour at the BPRC in Rijswijk. Their tale is, of course, only one side of the story. Jeffrey Dekkers is in charge of an animal rights group called One Animal, One Friend. I caught up with Jeffrey in the beautiful environs of the Haagse Woods in the centre of The Hague. I asked him about their side of the story and what exactly his organisation does and stands for.
We are campaigning against the existence of the BPRC itself. We want it to be closed down. After more than 8 years that they have been so-called independent, and the misery for the animals has only become bigger and bigger, and there's no end to their fate, so to say. So therefore we think the only solution is to close down the whole facility, and with that close down the biggest European facility for monkey research.
And specifically, what things are you really campaigning against there? What things do you not like that the BPRC is doing?
Main concern at the moment is the housing of the animals there. They have rhesus monkeys housed in single cages, which are 80 by 60 by 60 centimeters, which is just, you know, big enough to put them in. They cannot even stretch, let alone that they can play or, you know, actually live the life that animals should live. And that's not a condition that we can tolerate. It has to stop.
And are you against all the conditions that the animals, the monkeys and so forth, are kept there?
If you look to the best welfare and the best interests for animals, a laboratory is not the surrounding where animals can get what they deserve. So if you want to talk about housing monkeys, we should not talk about monkeys in the laboratory to start with. They do have some animals outside within a larger compound, which have a somewhat better life, but also has not the enriched life that these animals need and want and also deserve.
And what are your feelings about the kinds of experiments that are being done there with regards to animals?
The experiments they do, they are various. They do several things. And as soon as they attach a name of a disease to it, it sounds important. But we have to look to the real scientific value of their research, which is practically none. And we have done research into the validity of their researchers, and we have to be honest, their facility just doesn't produce what it says it's producing. And then again, they are at this moment a economically independent entity and have to make sure that they get enough money in, so they will take in any research they can. I mean, they've also done various experiments for the Ministry of Defense in Holland, which includes the use of poisonous gases. I mean, if you really pretend to care for animals, you don't put them into surroundings with poisonous gases.
So is it fair to say then, Jeffrey, that you're against, your group is against the BPRC full stop?
Yes, and I think not only EDEF, but also if you look at a bigger picture, a lot of animal-loving Europeans want the BPRC to close, because in the end, we as Europeans have, you know, made it into what it is today, the biggest research facility within our community. And what we hear from members internationally is that most people are disgusted if they, you know, when they learn about the conditions that are at present there at the BPRC, and we are just against it. Not only we, but also, you know, Europeans United for Animals are against this.
On a personal level, are you yourself against all animal experimentation?
I myself am emotionally against all experiments. I don't think it's okay to have an animal, or in that aspect, anybody else suffer for me. I mean, I don't want anybody else to suffer for me, if it's an animal or a human. But of course, you know, if for most people, in the end, the discussion might become, we can save this child if we use a monkey, you know, that's a whole different ballgame. And then we have to look at the validity of the research that animal researchers are doing, which is none. And we have to be honest about that. We as humans are not animals. I mean, to what animal can we biologically relate that much that you can predict what will happen if you put pharmaceuticals into the body of a rat or from a cat, for instance? It doesn't at all predict what will happen to humans, and even scientists have found that out, and they have several vocabulary of words they use, and the word for this is extrapolation problem, which basically means if we find something in a rat, it doesn't need to say what we will see in humans. And I only wish that there were progresses within science that would in some way prove that we are wrong. But they are not, unfortunately. Unfortunately, the number of people who have diseases only grows. The number of diseases grows as well. Even though we put in more and more money into research, also animal research, I mean, at a certain point we need to stand back and say, what are we doing? We're putting in billions of euros, but what are the results? And then I think we have to conclude that we are on a dead-end road.
Obviously, the centre still justifies itself, saying that the research is needed. getting back to looking at public perceptions of animal experimentation, a survey in the UK by New Scientist magazine a couple of years ago revealed that when you first asked people, what do you think about animal experimentation, most people, they say a cold start, were very much against it. But then when you ask them some more questions, well, would you be prepared to see mice suffer a little bit? They maybe go, okay. So there's different areas of public perception here. How difficult is it to get your message across?
It's not difficult at all to get our message across, because if you say to people, here you have a healthy animal, they make it sick. That animal has a certain amount of distress and pain and unpleasant things, most people say, I don't want that. So it's a matter of how do you ask people this question. If you ask people the question, we are putting in billions of euros into research, into health, but we get more and more people who are sick, and we have more and more animals that are being used for animal testing, but we don't find a result, what do you think? That's a whole different question than that you say, if I don't use this dog, your child will die.
Well, just picking up on that issue of how the public perceives animal experimentation. In that same survey, when people were asked, would you support experiments if mice are not subjected to pain, illness or surgery, 83% said that if it was a new drug to cure leukemia in children, to make it safe and effective, then 83% said, well, they approved. Would you approve of such an experiment if it was the case that the mice were not subjected to pain, illness or surgery?
I am principally, from my heart, against animal experimenting, and I've seen enough laboratories and enough of these mice or rats or any animal, and as soon as you have recognized that animals are individuals, you cannot say, oh, you can use them for this or that, etc. It would be a very difficult discussion if animal testing would show results. But it does not, and I cannot stress that enough. Animal testing does not give us results for any disease we know. You know, it's even worse that, you know, for over 40 years, massive animal testing is being done on various issues. But if we just take the flu, for instance, they are testing immensely with enormous amounts of animals on a vaccine for the flu. And there is no cure against flu. Even if you get a vaccine, you know, you still can get flu. And the only thing you can do is sick it out. So, you know, there's a lesson to be learned there, which is you can invest billions, but if you're looking in the wrong direction, if you use wrong methods, you will not find the solution. And therefore, we can only, unfortunately, conclude that so-called miracle drugs that have been put to us as communities, they don't work. And if they work for a very, very short time. And even in Holland, for instance, specialists on cancer have said that the results from 25 years ago, that is to say the results of people who die of cancer, are the same today as 25 years ago. So, I mean, you know, what did we win in all this time? We didn't win much. So, therefore, the question is not so much, do you think a mouse can be used to find a cure against whatever? Because the reality is that not one single mouse and not 1,000 or not 100,000 mice will make a difference in this search. No, the real question is, do we want to continue on the road we are at the moment? And then I think we need to have a broader perspective, which is that we need to find new ways, different ways, real scientific ways of researching diseases and illnesses, because we do think that research into, you know, human problems, so to say, should be done. However, if you do them on animals, we will not find a solution, which has been, that point has been proven for the last 40 years.
That was Jeffrey Dekkers of the Dutch animal rights organisation One Animal, One Friend. And before that, you heard Ronald Bomtrop, director of the Biomedical Primate Research Centre in Rijswijk in the Netherlands, both of whom were talking to reporter Carl Steinsen. And if you would like more information about the BPRC and related subjects, please check out our website at www.rnw.nl. In the meantime, that's all for today. My thanks to sound technician Arnold Pieterse, and until the next time, take care.
This has been a Radio Netherlands presentation.